This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
I'm dating myself to tell this story, and some of you won't even know the TV show I'm talking about, but I'm talking about a television show to begin with. How many of you remember it called Taxi? Danny DeVito, oh, there are people that you, older than I thought you were. Didn't think anybody would remember that TV show. He played the part of the manager of a cab company, and this program developed around all these interesting, weird characters that were taxi drivers in this TV show. One of the favorite sight gags that I've ever seen out of that show was seeing his mother. And by the way, the character who played his mother on the show was his real mother. And she was shorter than he was. And she was in her 80s, and she was an actress portraying the part of his mother, and she would have a cigarette in her mouth every time she was on camera. I don't know if you've ever seen people do this, who have a cigarette at the end of their mouth and they're talking and it's going like this, you know, while they're talking, just flipping up and down. And that was the character of Danny DeVito's mother. And the time came when Danny DeVito, she was living with Danny, and he said, "Mom, I can't take it anymore. You got to leave." And kicks his 80-year-old mother out of the house. And she's standing at the door of his apartment with this huge suitcase that's bigger than she is. And she's got the suitcase in her right hand. And she's standing at the door of his apartment, ready to leave. And Danny DeVito looks at her, and I thought, well, he's going to change his mind and say, "Mom, I'm sorry, you can stay." And he says, "Mom, you know that's your bad arm." And he took the suitcase out of the right hand, and he took it over and put it under her left hand and said, "There you go, now you can leave." And he opens the door, and the last camera shot is his mother in her 80s just walking down the hallway into the sunset with her big suitcase. You say, where is this going with your message today? I have no idea. No, I do, I do. I do have an idea. It does relate, believe it or not. Jesus today talks in the Gospel of Mark about religious people, very deeply religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were so religious that everybody knew about their religion. Have you ever known a religious person who advertised their religious stuff so much that, you know, if that's all they talked about was how spiritual and how religious they were? That's what the Pharisees did. They were very proud of their religion and very proud of their spiritual level. And they had come to a place where they had traditions that outweighed the Bible, the Old Testament law. And their traditions had more weight and more power than the law itself. And Jesus used an example where he said, "You Pharisees will not support your parents financially because you tell your parents, 'I have set a word over my money.'" It's called the word Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. "And if I say the word Corban over my money," I put my hands over it and say Corban, "that means it's dedicated to God. Therefore, I don't have to give my parents money to help support them." And remember, there was no Social Security, there was no Medicare, no Medicaid. Parents were totally dependent upon their children to support them. Total support. And so if your children didn't support you, you were destitute. And there were people that actually would use the tradition, Jesus said, to nullify one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments that says, "Honor your father and mother." That's why we're talking about it. It's just one of the issues, one of three we're going to talk about today. Mark 7 is the chapter. Our series is called What Jesus Did, He Does. Verse 1 says, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders." Verse 1 says, "The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders." When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" Verse 8 is really important. If you underline in your Bible, would you underline verse 8? "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death." Yeah, that's right. That's in the Bible in the Old Testament. Anybody that cursed his father and mother must be put to death. People today don't think a thing about cursing their parents of any age, of any age. Verse 11, "But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Now, here's the most important part. If you don't remember any other verses, this is what you got to go home with. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." All these evils come from the inside and make a man unclean. I want to talk about tradition for a moment. Traditions can be very important in a family. Traditions can be important in a high school or in a college. Traditions can be important in a church. But sometimes in religious circles, traditions can outrank the commandments of God. And people place greater authority and greater weight on a tradition than they do the word of God. And that's exactly what was happening here. And Jesus addressed it, where they elevated the traditions of men to that above Scripture. And Jesus would use the term, they nullified the word of God. I found out the word nullify means this: to deprive of authority of the word of God, to take away the authority. I want to ask you a personal question. Is there anything going on in your life that deprives the authority of the word of God? You ever found yourself, and we can all do this, you can do this and I can do this, "I know what this says, but I have feelings and I'm going this way. I know what this book says, but I've got my opinions, and I have my own ideas on this subject, so I'm going to go this way." And we nullify the word of God. We deprive the word of God of its power and authority simply because we decide to do that. Well, we'll continue this message tomorrow. Our website, again, is crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. Is there anything going on in your life that deprives the authority of the word of God? You ever found yourself, and we can all do this, you can do this and I can do this, "I know what this says, but I have feelings and I'm going this way. I know what this book says, but I've got my opinions, and I have my own ideas on this subject, so I'm going to go this way." And we nullify the word of God. We deprive the word of God of its power and authority simply because we decide to do that. And Jesus told the Pharisees, that's what you've done with the Ten Commandments. It says to honor your father and mother, and yet you dishonor your mother and father by saying, "We won't provide for you," because we'll just put our hands on our money and say, "Korban, it's dedicated to God, and therefore we don't have to give to our parents." I want to talk about a couple of things out of this about traditions. Nofel Staten is the man who was an air traffic controller in the Air Force, became an air traffic controller, at O'Hare Airport, the busiest airport in the world. He's attending a Christian church like ours in the Chicago area, and it says, the Lord's putting a call on my life to go into ministry. Think about the shift in your thinking to go from an air traffic controller to being a minister. And he did that. He went into the ministry, went on to become a professor, and then went on to become a college president at a Bible college. And all of that transpired and evolved in his life because back in Chicago, he felt the call of God upon his life. So he has something interesting to say about this passage. It's dated a little. It's obvious from some of his references. You might smile and laugh at it because we don't have a problem with a lot of this today. But here's what he says. Too many times our traditions in our churches are wall builders that keep people out of the church instead of bringing them in. He said, I used to be a part of an environment within Christianity that looked at every person critically. In other words, he was at a church where they looked at everybody with a critical eye. Beards were out, mustaches were out, sideburns below the ears were out, hair that touched a man's collar was out, t-shirts without an outer shirt was out, wearing jeans to any church function was out, a person who'd gone through a divorce was out, women's sundresses were out, a dress shorter than 2 inches below the knee was out, shorts were out, any music with a rock beat regardless of the words was out. And then he said, are we really lovers of people? Different people, diverse people, delightful people, confused people, searching people, poor people, rich people, black people, yellow people, any people. Jesus' response to the Pharisees and the scribes made it clear that he refused to see people and relate to people according to the traditional way. He would not allow the glasses they wore to blur the vision that he had of people. After all, his vision of people was God's vision. Isn't that vision good enough for us? If we could bring up verse 6 on the screen, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What a description of religious people. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That can happen in relationships where a husband honors his wife with his lips. He says good things, but his heart is far from her. That can happen with a wife, with her husband, where she honors him with her lips, the things she says, but her heart is far from him. Parents can do that with children, children with parents. And people in churches can do it, where we honor God with our lips, but we dishonor him with our hearts, because Jesus said, your heart is what matters. The heart is what matters.
Well, we'll continue this message on Cross Hope tomorrow, same time, same place. You do know our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
I want to get to the crux of the passage. It begins in verse 17. After he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Jesus was saying, it's not what you eat that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of your heart. And then he says this, verse 20, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. A couple things there. It all starts with evil thoughts. I want you to notice that. All the evil in a man's life comes out of his thinking. It starts there. All the evil in a woman's life comes out of her thinking. And so thinking is important to the Lord. That's why the Bible says, as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so they are. We're the result of our thoughts. We're the result of what we think. That's not New Age. That's biblical, that we are what we think. So it does matter to the Lord how we think. I want to talk about some of these terms in a way that some of you have never heard before. Let's talk about the word malice. The reason I want to talk about malice is because most people don't have a clue what malice means. I'm talking about people like me. We don't know what it means. Malice is ill will. Malice is wishing bad things on other people. Let me give you some examples. Well, I hope he fails at his new job. That's malice. Well, I hope she gets bad news from the doctor. You know, I don't like her, and I hope she gets bad news from the doctor. That's malice. Well, I hope they have problems with their kids like we did. Boy, I would like to give them a taste of the medicine we've had to take. You ever wished ill will on another person? Sure you have. Let's talk about slander. The biblical definition of slander, you've heard me give it before, is this. It's speech that injures. You need to write that down. The biblical definition of slander is speech that injures. You know what that means? There have been husbands in all three services this morning that have slandered their wives this week because they've said words that have injured their wives. That means there are wives in all three services today that have slandered their husbands. They've said words that have hurt their husbands. There are parents who have slandered their children this week, all three services, because they've used words that have injured. There are children that have slandered their parents because they have used terminology that has hurt and wounded their children. New definition, new way of looking at slander. Don't look at slander as something legal in the legal code of the state of Ohio. Slander happens to be something that goes on every day in the lives of people like you and me. I'm going to talk about arrogance. Do you know arrogance? One commentator said this is the one thing that Christian people never see in themselves. Arrogance is the one thing that Christian people never see in themselves. We see it in other people, but we don't see it in ourselves. Arrogance may be spiritual, but it's still arrogance. Pride can have churchy overtones, but it's still pride. Arrogance can have religious sound to it, but it's still pride. And pride is the only sin I know of where the Bible says this, God gives his grace to the humble, but he opposes as an opponent the proud man or the proud woman. I don't know about you. That's pretty scary to think that I become the enemy of God because of my pride. And he's on the other side of the net, to use a tennis illustration. The word folly, in the King James Version, they use the word foolishness. What does that mean? Some people think it means just joking. Well, I'd be in a heap of trouble because I tell a lot of jokes in my life. It's not what it's about. You know what it means? Here's what foolishness is. Here's what folly is. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this. That's folly. That's nuts. That's crazy. I know what God says in his word, but you see, I want to do this, and I'm going to do what I want because you see, read my lips, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's foolishness. That is folly in the eyes of God. Here's an author that I've quoted a few times in the Mark series by the name of Dr. David McKenna. He was the president of Asbury College or Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky for a while. Before that, he was president of Seattle Pacific University in Seattle, Washington. He talks about the death of his mother. He said, my mother died of a blood disorder. The doctor told us that the bone marrow produced blood with cells that were deficient for fighting infection. Consequently, when her heart pumped well, which it did, but it pumped the bad blood to all parts of her body, a series of symptoms and related illnesses developed that eventually led to my mother's death. Adapting a similar analogy to the spiritual life, Jesus makes the heart of a man the source of sin. His list of symptoms of sin is ugly. Notably, it begins with evil thoughts, which are the entry point for all the sins that follow. Jesus' conclusion is to throw down the gauntlet and separate himself from the religious ritual and the oral tradition of the Pharisees. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Here's the bottom line of this passage. Your answer to the problems in your life is not religion, it's a relationship. You don't need more religion in your life, you need more of Christ in your life. And so do I. Do you get that? It's not a question, I need more religion and I need more of this and more of this ritual and I just need to go to church more and I just need to give more and then my life's going to be fine. It has to do with relationship to the God who made you through his son, Jesus Christ. It always has, always will be. The Lord's not interested in you becoming a perfect church attender. He's not interested in you being a perfect, sinless person. He's interested in you becoming his son or daughter by accepting everything that he did on the cross. He's interested in relationship. That's why the Bible says in the Gospel of John, as many as believed in him, as many as received him, he gave the right to be called what? Religious? No. Spiritual? No. As many as received him, as many as believed in his name, he gave the right to be called a son or daughter of God. What an analogy. He's not interested in religious activity. He's interested in a relationship with him. Decide. Decide today that you're going to have a relationship with God the Father through the Son. It's the only way I know to have one. God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together.
Well, today is Friday, and from time to time, many of you know that we share an email or a note from someone. This is a note that where the person doesn't identify himself or herself by name, but they write a powerful note. Dear Randy, I heard a few snippets of your program on the radio recently. Since that time, I continue to follow you each day on your website, crosshope.org, crosshope.org. Your programs, to me, are amazing, and they're filled with the Spirit of God. They're very thought-inspiring, even though from time to time they may force us to look at ourselves in the mirror and face our own shortcomings. My family's going through a rough time, and your messages are very helpful. God bless you. Thank you. Though it's the kind of letter we like to hear, I hope you would write us at crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.